Well, hello, fellow podcast listeners, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub. Pull up a stool as we are about to begin our discussion. That's my opening. I am the host and producer of the show. My name is Chris Lockhart. Joining me this week is my co-host in crime, Mr. Jason Roberts. How's it going, Jason?
Oh, just peaches and cream.
Excellent. And also joining us, last but not least, is Mr. Richard Reeder. How's it going, Rich?
Pretty good. And I need them because you know that I'm a fiend.
Excellent. Excellent.
Someone will get that, and they'll appreciate it.
Perfect. All right, so for this episode, I'm thinking this will be a topic that we will revisit some point in the future, because as I was planning this episode, because we've delayed this episode a few times, and every time we delay it, I always add to my notes, and it's gotten quite big. So I imagine we will revisit this at a future date, but let's just get rolling. We are talking about annoying things in pop culture. This is the stuff that really drives us nuts, whether we're watching it on a film, whether it's, you know, a blip in a video game system, whether it's, you know, the way social media is being used, that sort of thing. So I'll kick it off here with the first on my list, and that is what really annoys me in pop culture in films and TV is recasting unnecessarily. Now, what I mean is sometimes it's best to just make a new character rather than bring in a different actor to play the same character, because the differences between the two actors is just so great sometimes that you cannot pull it off. The character that comes to mind is Rhodey Rhodes, Colonel Rhodes, from the Iron Man films. So in the first movie, he was played by Terrence Howard.
Oh, yeah.
And Terrence Howard is a great actor. I really like Terrence Howard. And apparently, the way the story goes is he actually got paid more to do Iron Man 1 than that other guy that's in Iron Man.
Don, you know, Cheadle?
No, the guy that plays Iron Man, that guy.
Oh, really?
Downey? Jr.?
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, that guy. Apparently, wow. Terrence Howard got paid more than Robert Downey Jr. did. But Robert Downey Jr. had a deal that he would be, you know, get so much, you know, percentage, you know, in gross.
The back end and stuff.
Yeah, back end.
Yeah.
So he ended up, you know, way ahead. But when you're talking actual salary, they actually banked more on Terrence Howard than they did Robert Downey Jr. But, you know, like I said, he's a great actor and everything. But, you know, they couldn't come to terms for Iron Man 2, because unlike Robert Downey Jr., who signed, I think, for like 3 or 5 movies at the time, Terrence Howard just signed up for the one. So when they came to Iron Man 2, they had to bring in a different actor because they couldn't make a deal with Howard. So they brought in Don Cheadle, who is, in my opinion, you know, better than Terrence Howard in that role. But it just kind of threw me off because he's a very different looking person than Terrence Howard.
Completely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I must say, he's definitely the best Captain Planet ever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I really don't think they needed to recast that character. They could have just had Don Cheadle come in as Rhodey's brother or create a new character. You know,
cause, but really?
Well,
but, like, that's comic book lore. Like, you're going to have War Machine taken up by somebody else?
Well, it could be a different friend. You know, like, I don't know. The differences were just too great, I think, for it to work.
No, yeah, it was very hard at the time. I would definitely agree with you. I remember when that movie came out, it was very, like, it took me out of it seeing how different they were, for
yes,
sure. So exactly. I'll agree with you in that sense.
But sometimes it works. Like, again, in the, you know, the Marvel Universe, having Mark Ruffalo replacing Edward Norton was actually a good thing. But unlike Terrence Howard and Don Cheadle, like, Rhodey, I mean, they could have had Don Cheadle come in and play Rhodey's cousin, you know? Like, they could have still called him Rhodey, you know? Like, they could have done it that way, whereas Mark Ruffalo, you cannot change Bruce Banner. Like, you know, you can't have Mark Ruffalo come in and play the cousin of Bruce Banner because Bruce Banner's the Hulk.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Terrence Howard, he never did become War Machine in the first movie.
Oh, so okay, I see what you're saying, yeah.
So it wouldn't have been that big of a deal to create a new character or, like, a cousin of that character. But, like, the Mark Ruffalo thing, it worked. But another time where this was very jarring for me, I don't know if you guys ever watched Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
Yeah, the
90s series. In the first season, I cannot remember the actor's name, but the first season had a different Jimmy Olsen. And I really liked that Jimmy Olsen. I really thought he was a good actor. He was, you know, kind of funny, to me, he was the ideal Jimmy Olsen. And then the guy that they came up with in season two to take over that role, he just sucked. It was kind of weird looking. And again, it was such a different, those two looked so different that it was jarring. Like it was like a sore thumb, you know, every time he came on the screen, it's like, that's not Jimmy Olsen. My number one pick for annoying things of pop culture is recasting unnecessarily. Jason, what's on your list?
Oh, God. Like, how...
so many things, apparently.
It's... how PC, or how watered down should I make some of this? Because I could just...
beep, 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 right. Beep, millennial, beep, beep, millennial, beep, beep.
It's... God damn it. I think I'm going to kind of go with the video game route.
Okay.
I'm going to start off with that. Like, a lot of it, or it's just not so much video games. I think also this qualifies as for movies too. And it's like people's, like, the toxic fandoms that have come about, like Star Wars is a prime example. And just like movies that haven't even gotten to be released yet. Like if they get tarnished, like, even before the audience get to watch it, like, it just, their fate is already sealed. And then social media jumps on that, and then it's just like everyone just kind of, you know, on this bandwagon of, let's hate the Harry Potter movie because so-called Johnny Depp was an abuser. Turns out he wasn't an abuser. He was the abusee. And so, but the problem is with that, it's like everyone has already made up their mind and the damage is done.
Yep.
Can I jump in on that? Because one of the things on my list was bullying on social media. So I just want to throw that in there with yours, because it sounds pretty much the same thing. You know, like you get the Facebook groups, the social media backlash against, you know, everything. It's, like, people taking what you say out of context, or if you don't agree with them, you're a hater, or you're a bigot or whatever, right?
Yeah, it's just this whole, you know, there's no more of this. Yeah, it's just everything gets taken out of context, or just like people just drug up, you know. This topic is just going to drive me nuts because there's just so much I just want to go off on. But at the same time, it's like everyone's feelings are going to get hurt and I don't want to damage the podcast. Well,
you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't with specifically what you're talking about too, right? It's like the acidic feedback? How did you say it? The toxic,
toxic
Avenger
fandom.
What was it? Toxic fandom. He's a great character.
Right?
But, like, case in point is like the Ghostbusters remake.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh,
Like, not the one that they're doing now, which is actually like going back to the originals, but like when they did it with the girls, right? Like, everybody was like, oh, why are you going to do it with women? This is so stupid, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know what? Like, give them a chance. Like, I mean, admittedly, I'm not the biggest fan of the movie.
Oh, no.
It was fun-ish. It was a good popcorn flick. Like, it was akin to, like, a Michael Bay movie, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, you're just going for the explosions. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't regret seeing it, but, like, I also wouldn't swear at somebody and yell at them and tell them that I hope their mother dies of cancer because they like the film or something, you know what I mean? Like,
or,
some people just take it too far.
Well, yeah, like that one, the actress that played, I cannot remember her character from Last Jedi.
Yeah, all the death threats, yeah.
Yeah, well, they were, she had to, like, close up her Instagram and her Twitter because people were, threatening her life.
I mean, as much as I hate the character, not the actor, Jar Jar Binks, I read the interview with him saying that he almost committed suicide because of the backlash. And it's like, I felt bad, but at the same time, it's like, I'm sorry, but you got stuck with a shitty ass character. Yeah.
I've never blamed Ahmed, because his name's Ahmed Best. I've never blamed him. I always blamed George Lucas and all the yes men that he surrounded himself with. That, you know, like at some point, somebody on the set of Phantom Menace should have been looking at this and, you know, musical Jar Jar Binks, you know, and they should have, like, went to George Lucas and said, George, what the fuck, man? Like, this isn't fun.
He was obviously there for the kids, right? So, right. On one hand, you can understand from a marketing standpoint of why that character is in there, but I think the problem was that they took it too far.
Then people
are just assholes because, you know.
Well, honestly, it wasn't a funny character, and to be honest, it was kind of like a little racist, I thought, to Jamaican people.
A little bit, yeah. You know, with that.
Short Round wasn't.
Yeah.
That's Indiana Jones. That's different entirely.
But
it's an icon.
I saw that someone posted that, and they actually felt bad about it, that because they were on the Jar Jar. Oh, Simon Pegg. It was Simon Pegg.
Yeah, Simon Pegg that brought that up, yeah.
And he's like, I saw him on an interview where he's like, oh my God, you know, like, because he actually did a skit in one of his shows or something where he, you know, makes fun of Jar Jar and, you know, being the shittiest character, you know, ever created for Star Wars. And then he's like, yeah, like, this guy was thinking about committing suicide. I fed into this, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's a good example, can't make fun of him anymore, Captain. Right? Well, it's like, my kids would watch, when they watched the prequels, like, at a younger age, like 5 or 6, and, like, they thought Jar Jar Binks was hilarious. You fast forward, they're now 9 and 11, and it's like, they watch it again, and they're kind of like, why was he funny?
Like, him again? Oh.
Like, you know, so they kind of skip over the parts, and they're just kind of like, you know, it was definitely more catered to toddlers than, you know, as you start getting older, it's just like, that was kind of an eye-opener for me.
It's for toddlers and stoners, basically, right?
And that's the thing, like, I mean, this was filmed in 97 and released in 99. So, like, I mean, this is the era of Teletubbies, of Barney. You know, those Wooba Zubas or whatever the hell those things were.
Zoobly-doo. Zoobly-da.
Like, all those kind of things for kids, right? So, I kind of see where George was coming from, I guess.
Yeah. But it's this whole, like, this is going to suck, so everyone just gets on it. But it's just like, it's like, no one's happy anymore with the fact that we have this. Like, we have the Marvel, we have the DC movies. This wasn't even existing, like, when I was in elementary school, like, high school. If we got one of these things, it was like a diamond in a rough type deal. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like the X-Men movie when it came out. I was still in high school. It's like, oh, awesome. Like, this, I mean, as it had its flaws, but I still loved it because it was still, like, some recognition, like, cool, like, hey, this might
work.
Yeah. You know, but it was just, now that we have all this, we have the new Star Wars, we have the Star Trek, you know, even though Discovery, Orville's better, just saying. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Complete agreement.
Chris and I had this discussion on a podcast also recently.
And but you know, it's just like we have all this, and it just they won't. I don't know. It just seems people are just so. I don't want to say jaded, but they're too spoiled.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
Like there's so much out there that's good that we've become jaded.
Well, and it's also a circumstance of everyone being able to get their opinion out and have themselves be listened to, right? Like
it kind of
social media in general just feeds into it, right? And so like you look into things like what happened today where WhatsApp, Messenger, Instagram, Facebook all crashed. Nothing was really working, right? And like you see posts like Facebook is down, but where do I go to post about my complete narcissism? Who's going to like my pictures?
Right.
How are people going to quantify my life and or validate my life? You know what I mean? And like, that's a hilarious tweet because Twitter's still working, but in reality, that's true.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a sad fact.
Yeah, exactly.
And also to kind of go back to the video game aspect was just like, well, a good example would be Fallout 76. And it's like that game has gotten so much backlash. And yes, there are bugs. Yes, there are issues with some of the, you know, fundamental just mechanics of the game or the servers crash or whatever. But it's like I've played other games in the past where I had server issues like 7 Days to Die. Server issues with that on the console are atrocious. So, you know, people complain there's no story plot, there's no, you know, human interactions or whatever. I'm like, well, you're kind of in a wasteland, and all that's really left are robots and mutants. So you have the storyline also is just the way that it's very structured, like Skyrim. If you ever played Skyrim, a lot you have books and everything else, and you find these books, and you actually have to kind of read through it, and you actually find a really cool storyline, and then the quests and everything else.
Did you just say that you have to read a book in a game?
Yes.
That sounds like the most boring, dumb thing. Like, why would I want to play a game to read a book? Wouldn't I just read the book in real life? trying to get kids to read.
Later on, they actually published all the books into one gigantic book, which I kind of want to get, but it's not just that. I mean, you could actually just collect the books and burn them, do whatever, and go talk to some random bartender and get a quest. But in Fallout, there's like sections where you have journals and stuff from people that are like left over, and so you can kind of, you have your quest, you go through, and you pick up, and you realize, oh, there is a storyline. You kind of get interested and, you know, more involved with the actual game. And it just like... And it's the graphics, everything, actually, I really enjoy the game. And I see where the other points are made, but at the same time, it's just kind of like some of this stuff is just flat-out hatred and just people just being spoiled. Like, I wanted a Fallout 5, not this, you know, massive player online type deal. You know, what do you do? And it's like, shut up.
You know what, though? On the other side of it, I just pulled out my Dreamcast and was trying to play Phantasy Star Online, and the servers are down, man, and I fucking hate tweeting all over the place. Like, what the heck?
No, yeah, there are exceptions. there are exceptions where it's just kind of like, if your game is solely based on just servers like World of Warcraft, it's just like, but it at the same, yeah. Or if you have a massive company that's obviously just after money, which if you look at Destiny, there's microtransactions like Star Wars Battlefront. The second one was just ruined because of that. And it's like it literally became you have to pay to win. It wasn't just a play to win.
Well, microtransactions in general are an annoying thing in the world, not even necessarily pop culture, right? Like they're terrible. Coming from somebody who plays Pokemon Go still to this day and needs microtransactions, and I thank the Lord that Google gives me free money for filling out stupid surveys on Google Opinion Rewards.
I do that too.
And that's the only thing I spend that money on is microtransactions so that I don't actually have to spend my own money.
Yes. Right? I went back and I actually figured how much I've spent due to Google Rewards, and I'm up to $1,000 in the course of the when the game came out, 2016.
Yeah,
Yeah, you know. So
oh my gosh. Like, you must go out a lot to get that many Google opinion rewards. I think I've been saving for like the better part of like 5 to 7 months now, and I've probably saved up probably about a little under $30.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe it's different in America. Maybe they give you guys more opportunity, but in Canada, they're just shutting us down. So
yeah,
maybe I need to go online and bully them.
Yeah. I just want to throw this out there that after this episode goes up, there is a supplemental episode that I recorded, which kind of ties into this bullying on social media. I kind of go into like my own little incident I had a couple months back. So that will be up on the feed after this episode.
Log. Supplemental. Stardate. Go fuck yourself.
So, Rich, what's on your list?
I think the first thing that's been bothering me in pop culture and more specifically movies and television shows, I've been binging a lot of Netflix recently. Secrets. Everybody's got a secret, and it always fucks over everybody else. Right. And they're always like, hey, what's wrong? Can I help you with anything? No, I need to do this alone. Or so, like whatever, right? So like
secrets
those two
in plot lines?
Yeah, well, where it's just like, okay, so if character A has a crush on character B, but character B doesn't know that character A is crushing on them, but kind of wants to be with them too, but doesn't think that they like them. So they're like, ah, screw it, I'll go with character C. And then character B and C start going out. So now character A is jealous, but all would have been solved if character A had told character B the secret. Right? Look at something like Riverdale.
I was just gonna say that. Rich, like, stop watching Riverdale.
Well, I did, actually, for that specific reason. But, like, that entire show would literally be, like, 5 minutes long. Like, they can compress all the plot lines would be solved in the first episode if just everybody had just been like, hey, you know what? So, like, this funny thing happened to me the other day. I was out in the woods, and I saw Archie fucking his teacher, and then all of a sudden, I saw this really hot, crazy chick shoot her fucking brother and shove him in a lake. And hey, look at that! The season's done. What do you know?
that's all soap operas, though. Like Riverdale is basically a soap opera.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I mean, just in general, like I just find myself yelling at the TV so often, being like, "If you just told him, then this wouldn't be an issue." You know, right? And even if it comes to like right now, me and my wife are binging Suits. We're watching Suits because we really like getting into things that have a few seasons. Mm-hmm. And we got misled recently because my wife read up online about this amazing show that came out a few years ago that she was really interested in, and it was called V, and it only had one season.
Oh, yes.
No. And then it ended on the
world's biggest
cliffhanger. No, there's only one, and it's got the world's biggest cliffhanger at the end of it.
Yes,
and
it canceled it,
and it goes nowhere. And it was such a waste of time. So now we're like, we can only binge shows that have at least a few seasons. And now we're like, yeah, this has got like 8 seasons. And like, it's just every episode you're like, you know, if you just told him that you risked your job to keep him on, like you hired him and now you told your boss that, oh, if he goes, I go. You tell him that, he's not going to be a stupid, self-centered little fucking child anymore. Excuse my language. I swear a lot. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I'm going to give that stuff up. But, like, seriously.
We have an explicit tag.
Oh, perfect. Explicit tag earned, then right here, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. But I definitely have to say that is one of my biggest pet peeves of TV and movies is the secrets, and also, no, I need to do this alone. When clearly, if you didn't do it alone, not only would it get done faster, it would probably get done easier, better, and everybody would come out alive instead of, you know, oh, look, you're missing a leg now, or hey, look, now you got to show me your baby dick because you got to grow back your legs because you tried to do it alone. Like, no, bring in a whole team.
All right.
That was a Deadpool reference, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Straight shirt cocking it.
All right, so next on my list is...
Have you seen Deadpool, Chris?
I have, yep. I've seen
both of them. Okay, I just wanted to be sure. Like, you kind of Which is like, okay then. Let's go left.
I just didn't know what to add. So next on my list is Empty City Streets in Animation.
Oh, yes.
Drives me nuts. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the DC animated films are bad culprits in this.
No one.
Yeah, it's Metropolis, and like, you know, they're having all these battles. Like, say what you will about Man of Steel, you know, the live-action film, but at least they got it right. Like, as far as, you know, like when Zod and Superman are battling in Metropolis and people are dying, and they kind of showed that in Batman v Superman, you know, where Bruce Wayne's, like, saving people and stuff. They got that right. But you watch these animated films, and, like, you know, there's nobody on the streets. Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they're in New York, you know, mm-hmm. the city that never sleeps, but yet there's nobody on the street, ever.
Yeah. That's because all the people ate too much pizza, so they're always sleeping.
Yeah, I suppose. but, yeah, it drives me nuts. And like I said, Ninja Turtles and DC animated films are really bad at this. But I will give a shout-out, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. They actually did really good
with showing
people in New York and stuff. And making it seem very real. Because that mm-hmm. always takes me out of these. Especially, like, I love the DC animated films. They do a really good job. But that is the biggest pet peeve I have with them that really takes me out of it. Is when they're, you know, battling Darkseid, you know, downtown Metropolis, and there's nobody there.
Yep.
It's like,
or the fact that, like, so you have a set of heroes, and this goes for pretty much any, like, you could do this with Dragon Ball, you could do this with you know, other anime, I'm sure, that I haven't watched. One Punch Man, probably. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's probably the same. Any of the DC universe. So it's like, they're always like, we need to get them away from the city, but then they never do. And they always fight in the city, and it's like, dude, all you have to do is, like, just go up in the sky. You can all fly. Just fight up there. Now you don't destroy billions of dollars worth of people and houses and buildings. Like, just fight up or fight left or right, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And your pet peeve here actually leads kind of into one of mine here, which is not enough extras in scenes in general, right? Mm. So you look at something like, you know, the prom episode of Saved by the Bell, where it's the school prom and it's this massive, like, California school, and there's eight fucking people there, and six of them are the main characters of the show.
I know which episode.
Four
you're
of them
about.
Are off on either side, not dancing because they're too shy to talk to each other, which is in reality very realistic. But, like, you couldn't just fucking go out to the street and be like, "Hey, we'll give you a free T-shirt," or like, "Here's a Disney ride wristband. We're filming this on the Disney lot or some shit." Like, how about you just go on some free rides after you hang out in the scene for 10 minutes? Like, it's not hard.
Well, but the one thing I'll throw in there where I will kind of give it to the producers and directors and stuff is the thing with extras, though, is they tend to fuck it up. You know, like when you get some random dude just in the background and you're like, okay, you just stand there, pretend like you're doing something, and they will look at the camera as they're filming. And then they'll have to, you know, cut, hey, asshole, quit looking at the fucking camera, you know?
But I mean, like, at the same time, like, if you're trying to make something, like, imagine World War Z with no people in it other than Brad Pitt or something, you know what I mean? Like, imagine Legend with... No, sorry, not Legend. What was it? iRobot. That scene where everybody's running away from all the crazy robots. Mm-hmm, and the robots are, like, climbing fucking buildings and shit. Imagine all those robots, Will Smith, and some chick on a friggin' motorcycle, and that's it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you need extras there. And yes, that was CG, so they did have extras. But I mean, like, it frustrates me so much that, these big productions from these big companies or these great TV shows from these smaller companies, whatever. But, like, it's just like, call your fucking brother. He's got 10 kids. You're from Kentucky. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. It's not hard. Get some extras.
Yeah. It's not hard to coach extras too. But at the same time, like I said, I think when they're on, like, a time constraint or budget constraint, it's like, you know, let's just kind of make do with what we got, because they don't
So they go down to they go down to the malt shop. I forget the fucking name of the place. They go down to the malt shop at Saved by the Bell. There's more people there than at the prom dance.
It is crazy. Yeah.
Come on.
Oh yeah, no, I completely understand where you're coming from. Absolutely. Jason, what's next on your list?
People dredging up like old things that happened 50 plus years ago and then complaining about it like something new that just happened.
Hallelujah.
So, prime example, I've read the article, but that one person that brought up this interview with John Wayne and the Playboy magazine.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
And I read it, and at the same time, I'm kind of like, it's John Wayne. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care what feelings you have, and plus two, at the age that he did this interview, he's in those golden years of, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got that old man senile, I'm going to run around the street naked, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. You know, just like... It's that stuff. Like, there's some things there that he said that I don't agree with, but at the same time, I realize it's that generation, because my grandparents on my dad's side had that same mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how they were brought up and raised. I mean, it wasn't
good. It's
subject
to the times.
Yeah. Well, but it's just like, you look at their way of thinking and how we think now. It's completely different, and that's good. It's showing progress. But at the same time, you're condemning a man trying to destroy the family name and the current family that's there, trying to embarrass them, trying to, like, oh, all of a sudden we got to change the name to the airport because we don't know. It's just like, dude, it's already there out in public view. All of a sudden now you want to do something about it? It's just kind of like, it's that kind of crap and mentality. It kind of goes in with the whole, like, there's just that, oh, I hate people.
They're going to be changing the name of all the children's hospitals from Michael Jackson Ward to something else now, right? Like,
you're right. I haven't heard anything about that. What's funny is because they were talking about, Michael Jackson is a prime example. It's just like
the Simpsons episode.
Yeah, they pulled that, but at the same time, someone brought up, well, how do you differentiate between the artist and his work versus him and his personal life? Because growing up as a kid, Moonraker, not Raker, that's Bond, a walk, you know, just, what was that sci-fi movie he did?
Oh, Captain EO.
Neo, yeah.
Yeah, there's Captain EO, but he did another one where he wore a white suit and he turned into this weird
robot. Moonwalker or something, wasn't
Moonwalker,
it?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like growing up with that, all those music videos, his music in general, and it was just kind of like that. He was a big chunk of that childhood, mm-hmm. you know, and all of a sudden with all this coming out, I remember when he was still alive, he went through that court proceeding and all that stuff, watching that, and I was, you know, kind of like, oh, wow, that sucks. But then it was like he was kind of vindicated about it, but at the same time, he just kind of like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
But now it just seems like I watched the documentary, and it's creepy, some of it.
Is it just one episode?
No, it's a two-parter, and there's few people.
I have the first episode, and I started watching it, but then I was like, I haven't seen any people talking about episode two or like a whole series.
Is that Leaving Neverland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a two-part, and each part is 2 hours. So it's actually a four-hour documentary. Plus, there's the Oprah special that kind of ties with it, where Oprah interviews the director and the two guys in front of a live studio audience made up of people that were molested.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So yeah, it's pretty heavy stuff, man. It really is.
For sure.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Like Michael Jackson was such a, you know, in his music and his videos and so on and so forth, were such an important part of our childhood. Like, it's almost like now people are saying, well, you can't think of that anymore. You can't enjoy his music anymore because evil.
Yeah.
But I have another great example, too.
But then
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You remember the Rankin Bass when everybody, mm-hmm. like last year,
yeah.
and baby, it's cold outside?
Yeah.
When everybody oh, was yeah. like, you know, like...
they're bullying Rudolph.
I've got in front of me here a little, I guess, like a sort of a meme that came out last year after the Baby It's Cold Outside thing. So it says, Baby It's Cold Outside was pulled from playlists because somebody was offended. I feel some of these other holiday songs must also be removed as they are also offensive. I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, subjecting minors to softcore porn. The Christmas song, Open Fire, pollution. Folks dressed up like Eskimos, cultural appropriation. Holly Jolly Christmas, kiss her once for me, unwanted advances. White Christmas, racist. Santa Claus is coming to town, sees you when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake, a peeping Tom Stalker story. Most wonderful time of the year, everyone telling you to be good cheer, forcing to hide people's depression. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is bullying, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Forced gender-specific gifts, dolls for Janice and Jen, boots and pistols and guns for Barney and Ben, Santa Baby, Gold Digger Blackmail, Frosty the Snowman, Sexist, Not a Snow Woman, Do You Hear What I Hear, Blatant Disregard for the Hearing Impaired, Have Yourself a Very Merry Little Christmas, Make Yuletide Gay, wow, just wow, and it keeps going. And it's so true. Like, people just get offended by everything now.
Yeah.
Even though, like, man, it's totally a different time. Like, well, the baby yeah. it's cold outside thing pissed me off so much when people started complaining about that.
Right. Well, it's funny is Shatner came out and he's just like, people are just soft. Quit being a pussy and enjoy the music and holidays. I'm like, go Shatner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's getting old and surly. So I'm, you know, I'm just like... I hate people. I'm sorry.
It's like, did you guys hear what The Rock supposedly said a couple months ago about the new generation or something? Like, somebody put words in his mouth from an interview, and I guess, like, the whole thing was somebody said that The Rock was complaining about the new generation being a completely soft, snowflake, millennial, pussy generation or some shit like that, and he was just like, whoa, I'm The Rock. I don't say stuff like that. I don't even say jabroni anymore. You know what I mean? Like, he's so family friendly that he can't even say his old taglines anymore. You know, but like, I people just go crazy. Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Crazy. Oh, yeah.
Middle like, in.
Well, to be honest with you, I actually have some cousins that are very hardcore into this type of thing because, like, I'm part Native. So, you know, my cousins that are more Native than I am. Are take offense to like the Edmonton Eskimos, the Chicago Blackhawks,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Florida Seminoles, the Redskins, mm-hmm. You know, the Tomahawk Chop, mm-hmm. you know, the Atlanta Braves. It's like, come on, like, I'm part Native. I have no problem with any of those institutions. You know, I'm an Eskimos fan myself. I'm a proud CFL.
But at the same time, how come you don't have the Boston white collars or the you know the Toronto Aryanites? You know what I mean? Like all there is a point to that, or there is an argument to be said that a lot of those things are somewhat offensive in the sense that. There's not there, like but, it's all it, there's never like a white racist team. It's always racist against everybody but white people.
But the thing is, right. though, is I don't see it as being racist. Like they were just that's what they were named
and or cultural appropriation, whatever.
And I've had like I have another cousin that actually played in the NHL in the 70s and 80s, and he played against. I don't think he ever played on the Chicago Blackhawks, but he played against them. He played for the Montreal Canadiens. He played for the St. Louis Blues.
And I spit on them every time.
Winnipeg Jets. Like, you know, and he never took offense to it. What, like, all of a sudden, it's like this big thing about, you know, Native pride or whatever. Take, you know, and why? Like I'm all about Native pride. But, I mean, these, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks has been around since, you know, whatever, the 1920s or early 1900s. You know, they've existed for all this time, and they do a lot of good things. Like, I really don't think Blackhawk is a derogatory term.
You know what these people should do if they really want to get back at somebody without hurting anybody's feelings and without causing ruckus? Is you dip a toothpick in mayo and you ever so lightly throw it on their back when their back is turned until there's 40 of them all over their back. And that way, you're getting back at them, but nobody's getting hurt.
I laugh because we've done that.
I know you have.
That's a total restaurant thing.
Ah, anybody who's okay. Seen that's ever worked in a restaurant knows exactly what I'm talking about.
All right. So, Rich, what's next on your list?
I hate it when people throw toothpicks on my back.
Right. All right, all right.
No, okay, I'm going to, you know what, it's a long story. It's just a long story.
Okay, we'll move on. No, go ahead.
No, but seriously, long stories. It's always like in a movie or a TV show, they're always like, oh, but I can't explain it. It's a long story. And it's like, no, it's not. You went out with her brother. You realized you were gay. Then you didn't want to date her anymore. It's not a long story. You can tell her that in this scene. It won't take long. Like, this is literally right. Every time you've ever heard somebody say it's a long story, that exact line is a complete blatant freaking lie. Because it's never a long story. And even if it is, you can summarize it pretty quickly. It's not that hard.
Nope.
Pretty easy. You know what I mean? Like, and it just gets to me because... Again, it goes along with the secret thing. Like, if you had just told them what this long story was, and it's not actually a long story, and even if it was, you could summarize it, just like real people do in real life, which you're supposed to be representing on this screen in front of me, you know, you would solve all these problems if you just went like, oh, so you remember that guy Loki? Well, he got away, but then we got him back, and then now he's dead because he switched sides. That's not a long story. It took me 3 seconds to explain it. Like, what, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, it's lazy writing to me. That's what it is. It's lazy writing. And with these people, like, the whole point of movies and television is to create an escape for people so that they're living in we're taken to a different world, whether it be a fantasy world or a real world thing. But it still has to be based in some form of reality that we can connect to. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, in no reality ever has there been a dire situation where the world's about to end and you can't summarize a long, quote unquote, long story into a 30-second spiel to tell somebody so that they can go and save the world. I'm sorry. It's just it doesn't happen. It's lazy writing.
Excellent point.
Get a little hot about this.
All right. Well, next on my list. I don't want you to get too upset there, Rich, so we'll move on. I'm not sure if I'm saying this right. Lame Deus Machina. You guys understand what I'm saying? Deus Machina? Am I saying that right?
You mean the video game? No, that was Deus Ex. Never mind.
It's like an act of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, lame Deus Machina. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Lame Deus Machina.
What is Deus Ex Machina, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, Deus Ex Machina. Yeah, that word. Anyway, lame when it's done lamely. I hate it. For example, one of the reasons why I do not like the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies is in Star Trek Into Darkness, Captain Kirk died.
Yeah.
Then they brought him back by injecting him with Khan blood.
Fucking spoiler alert, man. Jesus.
Well, this is what, a 6-year-old movie now at this point?
I don't need to see it now.
You gotta be more considerate about his feelings, Chris.
you definitely don't need to see it, trust me.
I'm going on Facebook right now. I'm bullying you.
But when I watched this film, because like in the first Star Trek, 2009 Star Trek film, you know, like they established that this is a new timeline, it's what they call the Kelvin timeline. And, you know, so, you know, what happened before doesn't matter. Like, these characters can die, things can change, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So then when they did the role reversal in Into Darkness, the 2013 film, I want to say it was 2013.
Oh, my God, if you tell me Spock dies, I'm going to freak out.
Well, no, because Spock died in The Wrath of Khan. So this time around, instead of Spock dying, it's Kirk Kirk dies. And then it's Spock that yells, Khan! And then he goes after Khan.
Oh, my God.
And there's a big battle between him and Khan, and he ends up, you know, getting the better of Khan, right? But then, like, Kirk was dead. He died. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I remember watching this in the theater thinking, wow, they just killed Captain Kirk. Like, that's amazing. Like, that is somewhere where I didn't think they would take these movies. And then, after, you know, the climax and after Spock's beaten Khan, blah, 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 all of a sudden Captain Kirk's waking up in a bed, in a sick bay somewhere. And, you know, and he asks McCoy, who's, of course, taking care of him, you know, what happened? Oh, well, you died, and we gave you some Khan blood, and now you're alive. Well, how does that work? Reasons. And then that's it. There's no discussion. It's never like, you know, like, I mean, like, you literally found a cure for death. And it's, like, just brushed aside, like it's nothing. Like, okay, let's move on. You know, you were dead. You died. And we brought you back to life by giving you someone else's blood. You know, like, there's, and they just move on. And it's like, I was so mad when I watched that film. Like, I felt like jumping out of my seat and saying, what the fuck is this? Like, you he died, and, like, you just found the cure for death, and you guys act like it's nothing, like it's not a big deal. I was on one of the Star Trek groups on Facebook, and this was brought up. And, you know, like, I forget what the topic was, but I pointed this out, and then someone said, well, you know, Spock came back in the, you know, Wrath of Khan, you know, and that wasn't lame. I'm like, it actually wasn't, because the way they did it, you know, they actually put thought into it. You know, like, there was the...
it carried over into another movie, too.
Yeah, like, I mean, at the end of the Wrath of Khan, they didn't actually know they were bringing him back. Like, they, you know, did the whole, you know, remember mind meld thing as kind of like a backdoor way of, well, because Leonard Nimoy wanted to leave. Like, he, you know, when they said, you know, we're going to kill you off, he's like, yes, do it. I want to get out of here.
Sounds like something Harrison Ford would say.
Yeah, which he did say on Return of the Jedi. Like, he wanted to be killed off.
Yeah. In
Return of the Jedi. And I mean, Leonard Nimoy was happy with it. You know, he got an awesome send-off. You know, fans were naturally upset, but in a good way. And then, you know, he got to direct the next movie, and then they brought him back. And it was, you know, like a whole film devoted to him coming back in a unique way that hadn't been done before.
Yeah.
Whereas Into Darkness, it was just one, you know, 2-minute scene where Bones is like, yeah.
What?
Yeah, no, like, we just injected you with Khan blood, and now you're alive. You were dead, physically dead. And we just brought you back to life, and we are not going to talk about it after the scene.
So what I'm getting from this is you wanted them to kill off Scotty.
I wanted them to keep Kirk dead. You know, if they had kept Kirk dead, that movie would have been absolutely brilliant, I think. That is what really, that was the torpedo that sunk that ship, was that. But anyway, let's move on before I start getting angry. Jason, what's next on your list?
Lazy people at work.
Excellent.
This is, oh my God, I can't. I think it's definitely this, it's this next generation. This is like they, or just, it's not so much, I mean, about 70% of it is this newer young generation that's coming out. There is the other, you know, whatever percentage that's just kind of like they expect things to be given to them. They expect, you know, oh, I should automatically get these hours. I should automatically get paid. They expect these things to be ready for them. They, you know, it's just like, I deserve an award because I showed up 20 minutes late.
Wait a second. You know? You're saying I don't get a cell phone break every 3 minutes?
Nope.
To check on my latest memes?
Nope.
well, what the fuck, man? Like, I'm your minimum wage worker that just cleans dishes. Why don't I deserve this?
Right? And, oh my God, it's just like, and it seems like it's getting worse, and it's just...
Can I just be a devil's advocate just for a moment? Do you think like when we came into the workforce, that the generation before us was saying that about us?
I honestly don't know. I mean the way my dad and my grandfather, like the way I was raised, was like, you work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have that mentality of, like, you get in, you do your work, you hustle, you make sure the other person's covered.
Yep.
You know, and that's just my mentality. And it's just like, I don't take lunch breaks. I don't take breaks, because it's just like everyone goes out for their smoke break, or everyone else gets their lunches and stuff. And if it's like, if I leave, everyone complains, you know, and it's just kind of like, it's just that... I'm sure you know what you just said. I mean, I'm sure there probably is a lot of the cases where that is true. But I know growing up, I wasn't raised that way.
Oh, yeah. So. No, I definitely. And neither was I. But I it might also depend on what industry you're in as well.
I feel like the technological advancement in the world has also made this worse, though, because kids have a shorter attention span, right? They're able to communicate easier. Like when we were having our first jobs, like there was no cell phone that you needed to check every 30 seconds. And if there was, there wasn't SMS at that point. And if there was, people weren't really using it at that point. You know what I mean? So like that alone makes a big difference. And then on top of that, even like, so with the technological advancements, the newer, younger generations think that they deserve, that they shouldn't have to work these menial, labor-oriented jobs, whether it be, you know, working at Quiznos or at a restaurant or at a movie theater or whatever. They think that they're like, oh, well, I know how to use a computer because I've been on a tablet since I was 3, so clearly I should be a developer. I've been watching Netflix since I was 1 year old, so clearly I should be a voiceover actor. Like, right. this $15 an hour job is just tiding me over until I you know, somebody in Hollywood realizes my stardom and my talent, you know? And it's like, you actually have to work for that. You don't just work at one shitty job and get that automatically, right?
I definitely see where you guys are coming from. Like, I have encountered that myself. But I've also encountered the other way as well, where, you know, you get young people that come in who are really good. And do very well.
I feel like that's a much smaller percentage, and at least in our industry, Jason and I, since I'm pretty sure we're in the same industry, like it's getting less and less and less.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Well, it's crazy too. Is this like we have like in the kitchen? You know, it's just like. It's just when the sous chefs aren't there, I'm running it. And so it's just kind of like we have stock to put away. We have the dry storage we need to deal with. We have the walk-in that we need to deal with. And it's just like the orders come in, and me and one other person always put it away. Everyone else pushes it off to the side or steps over it or climbs over it to get whatever. And it's just like, put it away. Or we actually have designated areas for raw fish, raw chicken, raw foods, and your produce, veggies, and everything else need to be separated. But we've put gigantic signs that have said, do not put raw chicken with vegetables, but they still do it. You know, and it's just kind of like it's that stupidity, that laziness, or just trying to be rebellious or whatever. And it's like, that's cool. You're going to, you know, poison how many people, you know, you're going to wind up being jobless anyways. But it's just like it's that mentality, or it's just like, oh, I don't want to do this.
You know, I have a related story that is both sad and funny to this. So when I was working, I think I was like 17 or so, and I was working in a restaurant down in the Ottawa Byward Market. I won't mention which one, although if you live in Ottawa and you're smart, I'm sure you'll figure it out. But so this place served a lot of seafood. And the owner of this place, her husband owned a company that supplied all of the seafood. right? Like, go figure. What a great relationship they have together, clearly. Right? So they have a server who doesn't get enough hours, so he goes and works at the warehouse where all of the fish and the lobster and all these things come from, right? So, you know, this kid's a fucking young, stupid stoner server kid, not really listening to people or doing what he's supposed to do. So what does he do? But he leaves a like a giant bucket of, I guess, lobster feed or something like that near the edge of the tank instead of actually putting it away. And then while he's walking by, he knocks the whole thing into it and kills, I think it was like 800 pounds of lobster.
Oh, dead. Jesus.
And then... because, you know, why not? Like, hey, if we've gone this far, let's just keep being more stupid. The stupid owners are like, well, it's clearly going to be all you can eat lobster for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, Jesus.
So I walked out of that job because of stupid people like you're mentioning. It was the first and only job I've ever literally walked out of because of, like, a reason like that. You know what I mean? And it's just pure laziness and stupidity, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it gets very frustrating, and it's just like, I'm going on like a 14-hour day, and then I have people that come in, they show up, you know, like at 2 o'clock, and they work for an hour, and they're like, oh, I gotta go take lunch, I gotta go take a break, and I'm like,
smoke break.
I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Did you finish your prep? Did you finish what you needed to have done? Did you go through? Well, there wasn't much. I'm like, there's always something to do. Something needs to be cleaned. And it's just like, it drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. And I think what irked me, I probably shouldn't have been perusing around, but I saw something on Twitter before the podcast started. And it was something about, oh, you shouldn't judge people about how much, you know, if they come in and work for 5 hours and are tired and exhausted, and just because, you know, you're able to work, you know, 8 hours more than they do and you're not tired and stuff, you shouldn't ridicule them. Become like, no, I should. If I'm paying them to do a job, they should do a job and not, you know, be fucking lazy and just be self-righteous and think that, oh, I should automatically just get a paycheck. I had one guy, he literally missed 4 days of work. He was being written up. He got his paycheck, and he literally complained like he didn't have enough, like, where's all the money?
Oh, my, we have a guy at work that does that. So he constantly complains about not getting enough hours and needing more hours and needing to work more. But then every time we're like, okay, like, so this person's going on vacation, so we're going to need you to do, like, 4 open to close shifts, which are like 12-hour, 13-hour shifts. And then, like, he'll be like, yeah, that's great, that's amazing. But then as soon as he gets to work, he spends the entire time out at the bar bitching to the customers about how terrible the place is and the fact that he has to work 13-hour days.
Yeah.
And it's like, people. That's so the moral of this story for this whole episode is annoying thing in pop culture is pop culture and people.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to throw one out there just to kind of change it up a little bit. I was very quiet during that. Okay. So this is a Star Trek whatever you want to call it, Star Wars, the Orville, they all do this. There's only one that got this done right. And that is the bridge being situated at the top of the ship for easy target practice.
Like, yeah, really.
Why do they do this?
I always wondered that myself.
Yeah.
You know,
like you'd think the secondary bridge would be a much safer place to be.
Well, even the Orville, like the Orville does that. And, you know, like the Millennium Falcon, like the cockpit is right on the side.
That one's the worst of all, because not only is it right on the side, but it's completely detached from the rest of the ship, too. So it is a complete target. And, like, all you got to do is shoot it a couple times and it'll just, like, drift off the rest of the ship.
And I mean, it was a cool visual. Like, when in Return of the Jedi, when you saw the Super Star Destroyer crash into the Death Star, that was pretty cool. But, I mean, if that fighter hadn't crashed into the bridge, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So there is one franchise that has got this done right.
Oh, at my least, God. If you say Babylon 5?
At least... No. Babylon 5, that's... I'll add on to this with that, but now that you brought it up. Is the new Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
The 2004 to 2009 series. Ooh. Their bridge, they don't call it a bridge. What do they call it? They don't call it CIC.
On-ram?
Well, on Babylon 5, it's called CIC. It's not called the bridge on Battlestar. It's called something else.
Control center? Command center? Maybe
it's just called command. I can't remember. But anyway, it's right in like the heart of the ship. So it's like, you know, like there's so many layers to get to that. So there's no way it could get blown up. You know, and to me that's just brilliant. Like your bridge is literally the heart and brain of your ship. You know, why would you make it an easy target for an enemy?
Now, this one's a little off, but I think didn't the ship on Galaxy Quest, wasn't that inside as well, or was that on top?
I've never watched Galaxy Quest, so I'm not sure.
Oh, my God.
But to go off on a quick tangent, because Richard brought up Babylon 5. So this is Richard's fault that I'm doing this.
Command and control, by the way.
Was it command and control on?
I'm on Wikipedia right now. It says CIC of Battlestar Galactica Combat Information Center, command and control. Those are the different stations.
Like I know on Babylon 5 it was called the CIC, but.
This is for Battlestar.
Yeah, so. No. I don't remember.
So they
but
anyway, stole
anyway.
It.
Yeah, no. But on Babylon 5, what they would do is, like, the CIC was literally, for nights, they would just shut down. So, like, they would literally turn the lights out, people would leave the CIC, and it would be done from, like, the night shift. And I'm thinking to myself, how the hell does that work? Like, what if an enemy ship comes and starts attacking Babylon 5 in the middle of the night while everyone's sleeping? If they don't, like, at least on Star Trek, they establish that there's someone on the bridge 24/7, right? Like, there's, you know.
Deanna Troi starts taking the night shift when she gets her command badge.
Yeah, exactly. And Data did it for, you know, for years, right?
Can you tell I just binged the whole series?
So, yeah, that never made sense to me on Babylon 5. It's like, okay, you know, the shift's done. Okay, everyone, see you in the morning. And they literally turn out the lights. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Huh? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, oh, totally. I'm gonna tack on one here to the end that's kind of related to this, just in space-ness.
Okay.
When the Enterprise, and this is, you know, purely because I've just watched like 15 seasons of Star Trek in the past like month or two, or well, 3 months now, I guess. But I've watched so much Star Trek and so many space battles and scenes. Like, so space is three-dimensional. Has anybody told the writers that?
Yeah.
Because they're always going forward and straight on things. Like, nobody ever comes from above or below or the sides or at different angles. Everybody's always just going straight at something.
Well, I know.
You can come down on a ship and shoot them from above. You know what I mean? Like, you can do like, you know, some Top Gun shit, and you guys can like both flip up so that your bridges are touching, and you can touch bridges and just, rub my bridge.
Yeah, like
that got weird.
I totally get what you're saying, because it's like on Deep Space Nine when they had like the big, you know, the Dominion War and stuff, and they're like, there's the Dominion fleet, you know, it's blocking our way to Deep Space Nine. It's like, just fly up and around them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to actually fly through them.
Exactly.
Or under
them. It's always straight. They always fly straight to the next star. And it's like, why isn't the next star ever, like, in an up direction? You know what I mean? Like, it's always, everything is always on a horizontal plane as far as, like, which way they're going to go. They're never like, okay, so we're at DS9. Now we need to go up to get to, Talladega 9. Mm-hmm. Or something, right? Like
there is some franchises that do it a little bit better, but yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, the whole, yeah. But all right, Jason, what's next on your list?
This is a big one.
I think it's going to kind of go inside with like the bullying aspect, not so much online. I think it's going to kind of dabble into like schools and other things. I think recently, last weekend stuff, my son got in a fight, and there's this other kid in there that they have a rivalry. It's just like they were best friends, mm-hmm. but as time went on, something happened, and they hate each other with this passion. I'm like, dude, you're 9. Like, okay, getting it out early or what? It's just like, but you know, we always told him, like, I told him too, it's just like, if someone's beating on you, you don't start fights, but you can finish them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, if someone's beating on you, fight back. You know,
I told you to stop telling everybody that Jar Jar Binks was the best thing to ever happen to Star Wars. You're going to start fights. Right?
The prequels were my Vietnam, okay? But no, it's just like, they got in a fight and stuff like that, and Jackson ended it.
That sounds good though. Yeah, I mean, from a, you know, a manly perspective. Rawr, yeah. Good for you, son.
Yeah, you know, and so I get this call from the teacher, and I go down, I went to go pick him up, and he's like, you know, coming down to the office and stuff, and until he sees me and he starts crying because he thinks he's gonna get in trouble. I'm talking to the teacher. There's this laundry list of forms I need to fill out.
What?
Yeah, of, you know, like between him and the other kid, I sat down with the principal, and they're like, well, we sat them down, we talked about the rules, and they needed to write a letters of apology to each other, blah, blah, blah. You know, you gotta be, you know, and so I'm signing this form, and as I'm reading more into this and what they're telling me, it wasn't just Jackson and this other boy going at it. It was Jackson and this boy gathering 4 other boys. So he got 5 kids teaming up on Jackson. And I'm like, why should Jackson apologize for something like that? Well, he fought back. I'm like, I told him to do that. Well, that's not acceptable.
If there's 5 people or 4 people or even 2 people ganging up on you, you have to either fight back or run away. And if you run away, you're going to get in trouble for probably running off of school property.
Right.
Would be my guess. I mean, because that's probably the only safe place you can go is off of school property where you can hide or something, right?
Yeah. And so it's just like, well, it just wasn't acceptable. I'm like, so what, the other kids was okay? They're like, no, it wasn't. But I'm like, no. They should be reprimanded, and Jackson should not, because at 4-on or 5-on-1, I'm like, what? Well, it's not appropriate for him to fight. I'm like, no, I told him it's okay, and I'm not going to punish him for that.
Well, yeah, and he's like, defending himself.
It's not acceptable. Yeah. And at which point, the principal almost told me how to parent my child, but she caught herself. And I looked at her. I'm like, are you really going to go down this road? And she's like, no, I apologize. I'm like, we're done.
No, I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, like, I'm like, no, Jackson is perfect. Jackson needs to defend himself. He can do it. That is how I raised him. That's what I told him to do. I told him he cannot start fights, but he can finish them. But when you have 5 children on one, mm-hmm. he says, if any of those parents come back and complain, we can sit down and talk. You know, it's like, Lily got in trouble because this one boy wouldn't leave her alone. He kept picking on her, and she told him 3 times very loudly, stop, leave me alone. Stop, leave me, you know.
But finally, doesn't that just mean he likes her, though?
Usually, you know, boys, I mean, will that's be how boys.
It that's when, what, it, like, when we were young, that's how it worked, right? You tease the girl that you really want to snuggle with, right. Or hold her hand, or, like, whatever, right?
50 no's and a yes still mean yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's
like, oh God. I can't believe I just agreed to that.
But so the teacher turns up. She sees Lily, but Lily just told him, because very loudly the 3rd time, but the boy comes at her. Lily puts up her hands. The boy comes at her, but the boy, thinking she's a righty, goes to duck, but he leans into it, and she's a southpaw. So she pops him one, and he leans into it, connects him, and knocks him out onto the floor.
Ah, probably deserved it.
Yeah. So immediately, Lily gets in trouble. She's borderline being suspended and everything else. I'm like, why? Yeah, I'm sitting down with the boy's father and the boy and Lily on the other side, and we're all sitting down talking and stuff. And both me and the other father are like, why is she being suspended for what this kid did? You know, it's like...
Even the kid's father agreed?
Yeah. And he's just like, no, he has to deal with the fact that he got his ass beat by a girl.
Nah. That's punishment enough.
That's a good father. Yeah. Like for him to admit his kid was, you know, being a dipshit.
Yeah.
And vouching for years, that's awesome.
And I'm just kind of like, and it's just that mentality of just like that, well, we got to respect other people's feelings. I'm like, bullshit.
You were the last winner.
It goes in with that whole, we need to have a trophy for everything now.
Yeah, that was,
I can't stand
it. We need to throw that in as well. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I have a bunch of mini ones, and then I've got one more main one. So why don't we, do you guys want to do a quick round robin where we just throw things out
there? Like a lightning round?
A lightning round, and then we'll end it off with our last, you know, main one we want to talk about.
Yeah, that sounds good. Although I do have to mention real quick on the subject of fighting, when we were kids, do you remember your parents having to fill out paperwork? I mean, like, they're our parents, but I mean, like, I feel like it wasn't as democratic back then. And no, that might not be the right word, but I mean, like, I feel like when you got in fight when we were younger, it was just, okay, you have detention.
He has detention. Or you're suspended or whatever.
Yeah. Like, there was no, like, you need to write an apology letter to this person, and you need to write the Pope and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah,
and,
no. Like,
it seems like a little much, but lightning round, yes.
All right, well, I'll kick it off. When characters simply disappear... and you'll notice this, Rich, because you said you're rewatching Star Trek, the original series. Yeoman Rand just disappears after halfway through the first season. Lois Lane's sister from Lois and Clark, she was on, I don't know, the first handful of episodes, and then she was never mentioned of again or seen. And the younger sister from Family Matters.
The younger sister,
the aunt, and the nephew, they just disappeared and were never talked about again.
Yeah, it's true.
Rich, what's your first lightning?
Definitely when characters go, hey, come over here for a second, and they step two steps away from a crowd of people or from their other best friends or from the person they just arrested, and they talk about them as if they can't hear them when they're literally a foot and a half away from them and they're not whispering.
Excellent. I
hate that.
Jason.
People becoming absolutely obsessed of a fictional character's sexuality.
Ooh.
That's a good one. I went there.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me nuts.
Again, the J.J. Abrams films. Now Sulu is gay. Which, fine, whatever. But just because George Takei, the original actor who played Sulu, is gay, doesn't mean that Sulu was gay.
Oh my, yes it does.
And that's the thing. Like, even George Takei said, Mr. Sulu's not supposed to be gay. Mr. Sulu was a heterosexual character. That's what Gene Roddenberry told him.
Did he ever, like, have any close scenes with anybody in the original? Like, I haven't gotten to any of that yet.
No, not
like,
really.
Like, does he kiss any female characters at all? Does he hug them? Does he have, innuendo scenes?
Well, he has a daughter. Like, D'Amora Sulu is introduced in Star Trek Generations.
That's true, yeah.
And then George Takei himself actually wrote an comic book, one of the DC annuals for when DC had the Star Trek license to do comic books. He actually wrote one where it was like a Mr. Sulu and, you know, meeting the love of his life, and it was a woman. So, you know, like, again, George Takei said, you know, Mr. Sulu, you know, Gene Roddenberry said that he was, you know, heterosexual. So the fact that they changed it just because of George Takei, like, he didn't agree with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's definitely a good one.
For me, for the lightning round, another thing is children on a starship. So we're talking Star Trek Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, the Orville. Why?
Well, technically, Deep Space Nine isn't a starship, but I guess.
But that never made any logical sense to me. Like, the Next Generation is the flagship of the Federation. It's always going toe-to-toe with a Romulan warbird or a Cardassian ship. Yeah. Why would you have children on board?
Well, Deep Space Nine kind of makes sense at some points. Like, obviously not during the war era, right? But, I mean, like, it is a space station where, you know, like, all these different cultures and races come together and do trading and blah, 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 blah. So that kind of makes sense, almost, except for the war times.
Yeah. And, I mean, I will give them credit, now that you mention that, because in the third season, they actually had to shut down the school because most of the children moved away because of the Dominion threat.
Yeah.
But, like, Next Generation, I never understood that. And why the Orville's doing it.
And then... And you see them, once, and then you don't see them for like a whole season. And you're like, wait, where did the kids go? Like, they don't even have them as extras running around the ship.
Voyager, just,
they're plot devices.
Voyager never originally had kids, but I mean, they had Naomi Wildman, who was born in the second season.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And then she kind of grew up on the ship because, I mean, they had no choice. So that made sense. Mm-hmm. But to have children, especially on the flagship of the Federation, like, I could understand certain ships that will never see combat, like if they're a science vessel.
Science ship, medical vessels.
Yeah, and they're in Vulcan space where there's no nuclear conflict. Vessels. Yeah, then I could get behind it, but, you know, the flagship, I don't get that.
Yeah.
Rich, what's next on your list for Lightning?
So many. Trailers. I can't stand trailers. As anybody who's listened to me talk about going to see a movie or reviewing, quote unquote, reviewing any movie, you know that I do not watch trailers at all. When I go to a movie theater, like when I go, I just went the other day to see Captain Marvel. I will bring my headphones with me. I'll have an audiobook or a podcast loaded up on my headphones. And anytime there is a big blockbuster movie trailer, I will put my headphones on, and if I don't have my headphones, I'll plug my ears and hum to myself, and I will look down at my lap, because trailers ruin everything. They take all the fun out of it. Like, all, like, the marketing in general these days, it's so, so in your face that by the time you see the movie, you've already seen the movie, and you're overcharging me for the movie. So you're going to overcharge me for the movie, but show me all the good parts. Go away, Baiton.
I totally see where you're coming from, because I've heard that from a lot of different people. A lot of people actually do this.
And you know what? It makes it more fun to go into things cold. Like, when I saw Captain Marvel the other day, I hadn't seen a single trailer. I'd only seen maybe one or two promotional photos, and that's including the one leaked photo of her in her original Kree outfit. You know what I mean? Like, I go in completely cold. I don't read articles. I don't look at things. Like, I go in cold. And you know what? It makes it more fun.
Sorry. And yeah, like, I totally get that. But at the same time, there's certain trailers that I actually kind of find interesting. Like, the Avengers Infinity War trailer totally misleads you in a lot of ways. So that's why, like...
But it's so rare. Right?
Yeah.
For somebody to do a trailer right, it's so rare. Like, 1 out of 100.
And it's funny because, like, even back in the day, like, because I was watching the original Planet of the Apes recently, and I watched the trailer that's on the Blu-ray. The trailer basically explains the whole friggin' movie in 2 minutes. Like, literally beat for beat what you're going to see in that movie.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. It's like,
cold dead hands!
Yeah, like, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, Jason, what's next on your list for Lightning Round?
Borderline the same thing, but I actually enjoy trailers sometimes. But the preemptive pre-trailer for a teaser trailer that everyone celebrates, and so it's just kind of like, here's a 2-second trailer for the teaser trailer that's going to come out in 2 weeks. So
is
same
really
date.
Just a trailer for the trailer?
Yeah, and I'm just like, why is this a thing?
Yeah.
And it's becoming more, and Marvel is a big thing about this, too. It's like, they do that. And it's just like, Disney's doing it. Well, Marvel and Disney are kind of the same thing now, so it's just kind of like,
and
you
Fox
know.
Soon.
Yeah, that is true.
All right. Next on my list, it happened today, and it might still be happening, I'm not sure. Social media outages. So annoying. I know we mentioned it. It's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Rich.
When stupid kids don't get off my lawn! No, seriously, though. Shows that take place somewhere where seasons exist, but then seasons don't exist. Again, currently watching Suits, based in New York. We're in the second season. They still haven't had winter yet, let alone fall, and it's in New York. So you're telling me that you're only showing storylines that take place during the, like, 7 months of the year that don't, or 8 months of the year that don't have snow, and then we're just skipping right over the winter during the off season and just going into the, in, you know, like, it just doesn't,
Yep.
Pry my season from my cold dead hands.
Jason, next for the lightning round.
Oh, God. Let's, people who say that I, it's like, why read a book when I have social, you know, doing social media stuff? Or they, oh, I just read things online. I don't read books. Hmm. Or they just, they have no concept of what a book is. And it's just like, it, I love my books. I love the smell of books. I will never own a Kindle. I will never own, you know, I wouldn't, I don't have digital. I have a hard time buying digital things for comic books. Like, I have, you know, an account with some digital comics, but I don't know. I just, I'm old fashioned. I just like having that in my hand. I love to be able to, like, you know, keep it on my shelf and look at them, or, you know, just do whatever.
When it comes to books, I definitely agree, like, as far as novels go, because I did get like the Kudo, or not Kudo, Kobo, one of those things, one of those apps, so I could get books digitally on my tablet. And the reason why I did that was because there was a Star Trek book that I wanted to get that is out of, currently out of print. And that was the only way to get it. So yeah. I spent the money. I got the tablet. I got the app. And to be honest with you, I think I've read two pages of it because I hate reading on a tablet.
Yeah.
As far as books go, I used to be the same way with comic books, but now I'm totally on board for digital comic books.
I used to be really into digital comic books too. Like when I read a lot of what was it, Invincible. I read issues like 1 to, like, I don't know, like 90 on my phone, and I was so into it, but then for some reason I just fell off, and now I can't get back into reading comics digitally. I don't know what it is.
Well, the reason why I love it is because, you know, for me, I don't live near a comic book store. The nearest comic book store to me is like an hour and a half drive away. Yeah. So to get new comic books, you know, like, that's a trip. Or I have to order them through the mail, and I get them like a month later. So for me, you know, getting, you know, doing digital,
see, that is, I understand,
getting them new faster.
Stealing for the win.
But I think what I probably should word it differently. I think it was just the people who are just blindly ignorant and just won't, you know, like, that's beneath me. They have that, you know, or they're just dumb.
Yeah. No. They're just, oh yeah.
Dumb. Yeah, it's like, but with situations like with yours, that is fully understandable. Yeah, there's been a few things where I've found where it's just like, I can no longer get this, and the only format is digitally, and if I want to go through to Costco or something and just print it off, you know, that's something, but...
Yeah. All right, so next on my list is lens flares. lens flares drive me nuts. Especially, like I mentioned, the J.J. Abrams films, but also Star Trek Discovery, the new Star Trek series. The most recent episode,
everywhere.
The most recent episode I watched was probably the best Discovery episode they've done. I was actually pleasantly surprised by it. But the lens flares were so, it was so annoying. And the thing is, like, lens flares were originally in Hollywood were an accident. You know, like, it was, you know, they're filming. You know, the sunlight catches the camera, you get that lens flare. You know, whatever. Like, it was not something that they wanted. It's something that happened, you know, and unfortunately they didn't have the technology to take it out, so it stayed in the film. But now they're digitally putting in lens flares.
And it's the digital part that pisses me off, because if you're going to do it, at least do it right. Like, do a real one.
Well, it's not needed. Like, it just...
Yeah.
It, like, why?
If it's, you know, not natural, that means that it wasn't needed, right? Like, if there's no sun in the thing and you have to digitally create something, it means that you didn't need to do it in the first place.
Well, and especially with Star Trek Discovery, because, again, like, they're saying, well, this is continuity, this is canon, blah, blah, blah. But there were no lens flares on Next Generation. There was no lens flares on Voyager. Why is there lens flares on this show?
Will there be lens flares on Picard, though?
Picard drinking his Earl Grey lens flare.
Yeah, I'm hoping not. But and that's the thing. Like, these starships are supposed to be, you know, state of the art. You know, like, you'd think, like, the lighting in them is designed not to create that sort of thing. Like,
yeah, like, where's the UV protection, damn it?
Well, it's well lit, so you shouldn't get those lens flares. You shouldn't have that random light coming through the windows, you know?
Yeah,
to the point where it's where it would actually blind a camera if a camera was actually there.
Like, wait a second. Where's that lens screen, that lens flare coming from? I'm looking at the view screen. It's just a giant TV.
Like, yeah.
Right.
All right, Rich. Last one on the lightning round.
Yep. I just kind of thought of this now, and that's online tire kickers. And when it comes to, like, I'm big when it comes to, you know, getting rid of things that I don't need anymore, or getting rid of things that my wife doesn't think I need anymore, more specifically. Mm-hmm. And quite often, you know, either I'll put them on Kijiji, which, Jason, that's our version of Craigslist without all the horny fuckers. Or we could put it on, like, different apps like Buns, which is like a quote-unquote sustainable trading one where you, like, trade things instead of just selling them. But people who are like, oh, hey, I'm interested in this item. And you're like, yeah, it's totally still available. And then you never hear from them again. Or they'll talk to you and be like, yeah, I'm going to come by today at 5. I'll be there 100%. And then they just don't show up. And you're like, I left work early today for this asshole. Fuck you. You know? Right. Like, it's like people are so self-centered that they don't realize that the person you're talking to also has to put effort into selling this item to you. You know what I mean? They're not just sitting on their ass and just like, oh, he's definitely not coming. I won't put my plans out of the way. You know, like, I was supposed to go to dinner earlier, but I put it on hold so that I could sell this, you know, $400 set of tires to him, you know? And I hate that sort of thing. Like, if you're going to buy something off of somebody and you message them, then follow through. And if you're not interested anymore, just message them back and be like, hey, you know what? I'm not really interested. Your price is too high. I'm not interested in this anymore. My wife found out I was buying it behind her back and castrated me. Whatever the thing is, tell them. They'll understand.
I was caught baiting. Can't do this anymore.
Go away, baiting.
Jason, next on your list for lightning round.
All right. People who get way too technical with science fiction.
Chris! Just joking.
No, there's a bookstore here in Salem, Oregon. I love going to, and it's a maze of books, and it's so awesome, and it's run by a father and son. The son is awesome. He's funny. He's easygoing, super nerdy. The dad, on the other hand, he's the quintessential angry nerd troll. And he just, oh my God, when The Force Awakens came out, we were there, we're just talking and stuff like that, and we're like, oh yeah, we saw it, we enjoyed it and everything else, and it was just kind of like, he chimed in, oh, it's scientifically impossible to do this and this and this, how is it able to suck the sun into the hole? And I'm just like, are you really thinking about the mathematics and the logistics about everything? Like, you want to kind of go into the whole how would lightsabers work? And it's just like, people like that just drive me up the wall. Like, I can understand there's things that are kind of like, okay, that gun only fires 2 rounds and you somehow squeezed out 5. That, okay, that's a little bit much. But, I mean, to sit there, I'm like, can't you just enjoy?
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, just go in.
Kayfabe that about shit, it. Man.
I completely agree. Like, especially when the technical thing, because I did hear like one of Harlan Ellison's biggest arguments against like Star Wars was that you don't hear sound in space. So why do you hear explosions and all that kind of stuff? Right. Again, that's where Battlestar Galactica kind of got it a little bit right in some aspects. But then sometimes I have to get technical. Con blood. you know.
Don't mention lens flares.
The con blood. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, that just, again, yeah.
I find people do that a lot with wrestling storylines and stuff, too, where they get way too into it. And they start hashing out, like, details that really don't have anything to do with anything. And you're like, dude, like, it's wrestling. It's a soap opera for dudes, man. Like, they're not getting that deep into it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a TV show, just like Game of Thrones and all these other things. The only difference is they don't have sets. It's just a quote-unquote live wrestling event. You know what I mean? Like, it's still scripted, just like all of your favorite shows, like, you know, Game of Thrones or Kim the Kardashians or Big Brother. Those are all fucking scripted. I don't care if they say the reality or not. Every show is scripted. And, you know, like, you just don't need to get that crazy into details. Take what they give you at face value and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I have one last for the lightning round. And the reason I saved this for last is because you guys are both work in the cooking industry. So I wanted your thoughts on this. Cooking shows and competition shows. Why are they timed? Like, why, like, say, an Iron Chef or whatever, Gordon Ramsay's competition show or whatever. Why do they say, okay, you have a half an hour to make this souffle or whatever, and go? And then it's like,
because it's impossible.
Well, it turns out to be this big rush. Like, why would... Like, for me, not being, like, a cook or not knowing much about cooking other than, you know, how to make craft dinner, like, that sort of thing, spaghetti. I'm not much of a cook. I'm not going to lie.
Chef Boyardee.
But, I would rather watch a show where I actually see someone take the time. I mean, of course, they're going to have to compress it, and you're going to, you know, like, they'll have to say, like, this took 3 hours to do or whatever, but this is what I've created, and it's amazing. And, you know, and people could taste it or whatever and be like, ooh, that's really good. You know, it's awesome. That's, you know, it took them 3 hours. And then this other guy comes along, well, I did mine in a half an hour. And they're like, well, it's just as good. You know, like, why does there have to be a time limit? Like, that, to me... If
drama.
It's
all it is, drama. I mean, like, I don't know how high-end your place is. It sounds pretty high-end because you're saying, like, sous chefs and shit like that. But I've worked in places where part of the interview is literally the chef saying, okay, you know, like, I'm just going to step over here to this table, go into the kitchen. You've got, you know, like 30 minutes. Just go and make something for me. Let's see what you can do. You know what I mean? And that'll be part of the interview. But, like, it's all for drama when it comes to the TV shows, right? Like, they want them, they're giving them something that you need. Like, so, for instance, you say, you know, a souffle in half an hour. That's basically fucking impossible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, even for a chef that really knows what they're doing, like, it wouldn't, and the time frame there is arbitrary, right? Like, you could say 60 minutes, doesn't matter. But, like, whatever item they're giving you to cook in that specific amount of time, they're saying that based on the fact that that item would take Chef Ramsay himself 25 minutes to make. You know what I mean? So they want them to fuck up. They want them to have to rush so that they forget ingredients, so that they steal ingredients from each other, so that they turn each other's burners off. Like, it's all drama.
Yeah. It literally is. I mean, if you're going to make things like creme brulee, to sit there and make the actual creme brulee, it would take, I don't know, to boil down the cream and temper the egg yolks into it and stuff, it's almost like an hour process. Not to mention the fact, that once that's all done, you got to put it into the whatever container that you're going to put it in.
Blast and cooler, set it into,
yeah. And you have to set it into a marine, like just kind of almost like a water bath, or just have, you know, a cookie sheet with a little bit of water. And that's for another 30 or 40 minutes.
And then you have to put the sugar on top perfectly evenly, and then you have to burn that all while spinning it in your hand and not burning your hand off. And, like,
that's when things get really hairy. You have melted sugar burning into your hand, and then
it's like. But that being said, man, I miss burning creme brulees. That shit is fun.
No, a lot of it is just drama.
Yeah,
it's
just... Well, that's what I figured, but it's like at the same time, like, for me, I'm more interested in what it would take to make this. You know, like, I would rather, I don't need the drama. I just would like to see how long it's going to take and the steps to do it properly, right?
Like that. It also depends on the TV show, too, right? Because, yeah. I mean, things like Hell's Kitchen are built for that quick, it's meant to give you almost like an anxious rush while you're watching it. So you're like, oh my God, I don't know if they're going to make it. Like, I can't handle this. I can't watch. Whereas if you go and you watch Jamie Oliver, you know what I mean? Like, that's obvious. That would probably be more your style because he takes 30 minutes to show you how to cut parsley or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, too, things with like Hell's Kitchen versus Chopped. Hell's Kitchen, you have, what, 6 or 8 different people. Each one of them are doing different things for that particular dish.
People on one side of the kitchen, and then you got another 6 or 8 people.
And it's all restaurant orientated, get the food out, and they're all making each item for each dish, and it's all going to come together at the end. Versus Chopped, where you have, you know, one person doing one thing, you know, all on one dish, and they only have, like a half an hour or an hour, depending on what goes on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's
that being said, I think I might watch some Hell's Kitchen after this.
Well, for me, I just never understood why would you want to rush a good cook, you know?
But yeah,
drama.
But I see where you guys are or coming from. Dick.
Yeah. It's either drama or you're in real life. You're just being a dick. Those are the two options.
To be honest, the only time I ever watch cooking shows is when I'm visiting my sister because she likes to watch those.
Well, bless her little heart.
Yeah, I don't actually watch it myself, but okay. So let's go one more round of our annoying things of pop culture, and you can take the time and go into whatever details you want. This isn't a lightning round, so one more trip around the block. Rich, what's last on your list?
I actually used up all of mine.
Okay. That's fine.
I got nothing left. I'll just comment on yours.
Jason, what's last on your list?
Oh Lordy.
I feel like you're choosing between a couple here.
A little bit. I'm trying to figure out what would be the best, that something that we could all relate on. And it's,
where's
just
your
like,
mic drop moment, right? You're like, which one?
right. I man buns. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I can't. Or the beard glitter. I'm beard just like. Glitter.
What the fuck? That's a thing? I've heard that of vajazzling. Vajazzling is like crazy, but like.
It's literally goddamn hipsters and their man buns, and it's just like they put glitter in the beard. Like different colored glitter, and they could just. It's literally a thing. And it's
from a man with a goatee?
No, they'll. This is a full-on beard now. I haven't shaved in a while, so it's okay. it's been a long year, okay? But no, it's just been... man buns just drive me nuts. I don't know what it is. It's just kind of... It's a gear knob on a head. It just... it's one thing for girls or whatever, but... I don't think...
If you're not buff and a surfer, then you're not allowed to have one.
Right.
Or if you're not like, you know, some form of ethnicity, like if you're from Hawaii or the Fiji Islands or something, or
like
you
Jason
know, like
Momoa
you're some sort of
yeah,
exactly.
No,
or
I'm talking
if
about
samurai
the real,
or something.
Like skinny white kid that just wears Uggs and high cut shorts and a cropped white T-shirt. That's just kind of like I can't do it.
Yep.
And it's like I remember we were at the zoo. And my Jackson wound up seeing this other kid, and he had a man bun, and he's just kind of like, what is that? I'm like, that's what they call a man bun. And he's like, why in the fuck would you do that? And I'm like, Jackson, one, good word use, but don't say that word again. Okay.
That's awesome.
But, you know, two, it's I'm sure it's something to do with his parents. They're probably, one's named Scott. I and the other one's named, you know, Mercury or whatever, but it's just kind of like, even a 9-year-old was just kind of like, why would you do that? Why is that a thing? It's just like, I can't, man
See,
buns.
I can't speak too ill of the man bun thing. Not because I have one, but because...
Oh, thank God.
I can't picture you with one.
Yeah, I really can't picture you with one, no.
I'm trying hard, but it's not.
You see,
it's not pretty.
I rocked a mullet until I was 18.
So I used to have I had a mohawk for like, I don't know, half a decade or something.
Well, I had a rat tail for...
Oh, I definitely had a rat tail. I think my mom still has it in a baggie somewhere.
Oh, Jesus Christ. With all your teeth?
Yes. She gave me my teeth last year, actually. When I got married, she was like, here's all the crap that I have of yours. It's your wife's problem now.
Like, at my school, because, you know, I went to school at a very small school. There was only 12 people in my graduating class.
Good Lord.
Every year, somebody for years would have like a weird hair for their grad, right? So everyone was wondering who's going to be the weird hair guy or girl for our class. And it turns out, it wasn't that I was weird. It's I became normal. And that's because just prior to my grad, I cut the mullet.
I thought you were going to say everybody got mullets because, like, Joe Dirt came out, so everybody was like, let's all get mullets.
No, like I said, I've been rocking the mullet for, you know, since I was a kid, right? So, and I mean, I had lawn hair. Like, my nickname was lawn hair. Like, that's what they used to call me. It's on my grad jacket.
Mine was dance.
And I used to, it was so long I could put it in a ponytail. So when I showed up for rehearsals with my short hair, everyone was like astonished. They couldn't believe that I actually did it. And mine was the weird hair of our class, even though it wasn't weird. It was just normal. But it was abnormal for me. And now, like me, I shave my head right down. Like, you know, like I'm pretty much bald at this point. Like, I'm not literally bald. It's just I get
like
my hair
in the army bald.
Yeah, in the army bald. Yeah. Like, I hate hair. Like, I just, it drives me nuts. I sweat so much now. Like, I find as I'm getting older, I sweat more from the top of my head for some reason. So I keep it short.
Yep.
Because it's air, you know, it helps with the air circulation or something, I guess.
You're talking to two guys who work in hot kitchens. Trust me, we know about sweating.
Yeah. So. like the man bun thing, like, honestly, if that had been a thing in the late 90s, I probably would have done it. But thankfully, it never came to that. All right, so...
I thought of my mic drop moment one.
Okay. You go ahead, Rich.
One word. Trump.
Oops. Oh, God.
That is, yeah. Well, he's on the Twitter. He's...
Oops. That's all you need, though. Mic drop moment.
He's there.
Done.
Yeah. Okay, so last but not least, my last one is, it's actually a Game of Thrones one.
Oh, I'm not going to get this.
You'll get this because you're Canadian, and you'll understand where I'm going with this.
Winter is coming?
It is winter related. So, Game of Thrones, no one wears a toque. It's like the phrase, kind of wear one a little bit. And even in the first episode, someone wore one. And, yeah, it just drives me nuts that no one wears a toque.
But see, the thing is, though, is did they have toques back then? Like, what is a toque in that time, right? Like, what would it look like? Like, how would they make it? Well, are they, you know what I mean?
Well, I say toque, but I mean any kind of head covering gear. Because, like, I mean, they do have...
Do they have hoods?
They do, but no one puts them up. And it's this... Like, I understand why they're doing it why they don't do it on the TV show, and it's for the same reason why Robert Downey Jr. always has his Iron Man mask off, why Spider-Man always takes his mask off, because you want to see the character, you want to see
and why they take the and this is funny actually, because it's kind of similar to why they take the headrests out of cars in car scenes. If you ever notice, the headrests are always gone, and it's because if there's anyone in the back seat, that headrest is going to get in the way. You won't be able to see the person as well in the back seat, so they always take the headrests off, right? That was kind of a similar reason right there, too.
Yeah. So, like, so I get why they do it, but like I said, like, there's certain families, like the phrase, it's kind of, it's part of their costume, where they wear, like, the thing over their head, and it's covering their ears. Like, on Game of Thrones, they make a big deal about winter is coming, and winter is coming, and it's, and the, you know, the wildlings north of the wall, some of them wear hoods and stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, especially, speaking of the trailers for the new season coming up, you know, like, they have all these characters just, walking around. It's wintertime. You can see, you know, it's cold. You see their cold breath. But yet nobody's covering their head. Mm-hmm. And the reason why this kind of sticks in my craw or whatever is because...
Because you're a Canadian?
Well, I'm a Canadian.
And we know how freaking cold it actually is.
I was 11 years old. I actually froze my ears when I was in school. What had happened was, this is back in the day when you still went to school when it was minus 30.
You know, not like these pussies nowadays.
Yeah, it seems like nowadays, you know, it's like minus 10. Oh my God, you know, buses
there's
aren't
running. There's 2 inches of...
Buses aren't running. Oh my God, there's snowflakes.
Two inches of snow.
Yeah.
So, like, back in those days, like, you went to school. Like, you very rarely got a snow day. You very rarely got a cold winter day. Mm-hmm. And anyway, this also ties into bullying, because there were some bullies on my bus that would make fun of me for wearing a toque, right? So, mm-hmm. me being, you know, 11 years old, not wanting to be bullied on the way to school, I decided not to wear my toque on this cold winter day. And I froze my ears. Like, and I don't know if you've ever seen someone who's had frozen ears. It's not good.
No, I can't imagine.
Like you literally, your ears turn purple and they expand. They like, I looked like a cross between like a Ferengi and a Vulcan. Like, it was crazy.
Ouch.
What happened with my ears. And so I think it was like minus 30, minus 35 that day or whatever. So, and this was like maybe 20 minutes of exposure to the cold that I froze mm-hmm. my ears during that time. So when I see it on a show like Game of Thrones, when, you know, winter is coming, and, you know, the last few seasons they've done a lot of, you know, winter shooting, because a lot of the story's taking place in the north now.
Wait a second, you're telling me they're on like season 10 and the winter still hasn't gotten here yet?
Winter has officially been declared as of like a season and a half ago. But
it's been declared? What is this, war?
Well, because the maesters of this world, you know, basically they're like the scientists, the doctors and stuff, they've determined that winter has come. Like, the season has changed to winter. And this happened, I want to say, at the end of season 6. So we are now going into season 8, I believe. But between season 6 and season 8, there's only like been like maybe a month has passed, like, show wise. So now, like, we are getting into the winter and going into this final season where it's gonna, like, you know, get bad. And the trailers that they've been showing, like, they've been showing a lot of snow, a lot of, you know, like, the Unsullied, you know, they're all still kind of standing outside, you know, doing their soldier thing and wearing
standing
almost
on
nothing.
A wall somewhere.
Yeah, and like, they're wearing almost like nothing. And it's like, mm-hmm. guys, you know, like, if it's really, because I always think of the north and of Game of Thrones of Westeros as being like Canada, where it's a little bit colder than everywhere else
mm-hmm.
in the world. And that's kind of what Canada, and I guess you could say like Russia, Siberia, that's kind of what, we're all kind of in that same hemisphere.
Yeah.
So, like, I know, you know, what cold can do. So for me, that just, that always bothers me when I watch Game of Thrones and they're not covering their heads. Like, it just.
So weather appropriate outerwear is what you're saying. And I agree with that because, and I, that literally just made me think of this. One of the things that I hate in movies and TV shows is when either it's raining, but nobody's fucking wet, you know, e.g., what was it? Where they showed Batgirl, the backdoor pilot for Batwoman or whatever. I forget which show that was on.
Oh,
remember the DC animated or DC universe show or something like that, where they brought in, Batwoman for an episode. Wasn't it Titans or something or, but anyway, okay. So it's raining and everybody's hair is still perfect. Like all these girls, their hair is still completely perfect. And I don't even care. Like even if you had an umbrella up, I know from being married for, you know, like I'm married to a girl who has very long hair. And if it's freaking humid out, I don't care if her hair gets wet or not. It's being affected or, you know, like everybody else in the scene is wet, but they're completely dry, you know, and it just, you know, or like, why do you have an umbrella when it's not raining? Like there's the opposite side of that. I just saw an episode of Suits earlier today where they were like running outside to go and talk to one another and they're putting up their umbrellas. But you're like, you can clearly see it's not raining. There's no water on the ground anywhere. Like everybody else has umbrellas in the scene too, but there's clearly no water anywhere in this scene at all. Mm-hmm. Why do you have umbrellas? You know what I mean? Like I can see this is a 4K broadcast here or whatever. Like I can clearly see like, you know, but
absolutely. Anyway. Yeah, definitely. Weather is an issue.
Yes.
But all right. Like I said, this is definitely a topic I think we will come back to because there were things that I'm sure we wanted to throw in there that didn't get mentioned, but we are running kind of long, so we'll just wrap it up, and this will definitely be something we will tackle again one day. So before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet. And Rich, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on a couple of different shows. I've got Tech Chatter, which I've been doing for a little while now, and it just got rebranded from Technobabble to Tech Chatter, so you can find that on iTunes. You can also find the newest show, which is Pop Chatter. We've just recently released our second episode with a third episode forthcoming shortly, and also on Schlock Chatter, which will be launching sooner than later, I hope. And that basically is a show. It was basically just an excuse for me and one of my buddies to use my projector and watch really crappy movies on a really big screen and get together and record a podcast about it afterwards. So it's a whole lot of fun.
Excellent. And speaking of crappy movies, actually, I don't even know if it's a crappy movie. I'm told it's a crappy movie, but I'm going to give it a chance. That's the Flash Gordon film. I picked that up today.
A classic.
Yeah, I picked that up today for $5. I've never actually watched it. All I know is that Queen did the soundtrack, so I want to check it
out. Oh, my God.
I can tell you right now, it's not better than Flesh Gordon.
Excellent. Jason, where can we find you, sir?
At usual, nerdylifeofmine.com, and Twitter handle, because it's the Twitter's only one up right now, is iRoberts3.
Excellent.
Hey, I like that.
You can check out my blog. I'm at randomnerdness.blogspot.com. You can also, whenever Facebook gets back to Facebooking again, you can come check out the Pop Culture Pub group on Facebook, which this podcast is based off of. And what else do I got? I've been blogging a little bit more, so, you know, please check that out. I got a couple of books on Amazon if you want to check those out. One's called Galactic Storms Woe Begone Days. That's my science fiction novel. And then I did a book of blog as well, which is just a collection of blogs and some short stories and stuff.
You really got to get on that audiobook recording, though, man. I'm telling you, that's where the money's at.
I actually was going to do that. Like, I was going to actually do that as a podcast, but never got around.
It's not like you don't have the equipment already.
Yeah, I know, definitely. And I was actually thinking of doing, like, a real production of it and, like, recruiting people, like scripting my book and actually like bringing in like friends and stuff to do, you know, recordings for it.
So yeah,
that might be in the future, but not anytime soon, unfortunately, because I'm working on a couple other projects here. All right, so coming up in the not-too-distant future, we are going to be doing an episode called Let's Make a Sequel, and where we are going to take a movie that has no sequel, and we are going to propose what a sequel would be for that movie. So that's going to be coming up on this feed, so be sure to check that out. So on behalf of myself, Jason Roberts, and Richard Reeder, my name is Chris Lockhart. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. This was our episode of Annoying Things in Pop Culture, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.
Real quick, I wanted to mention it, but we were running super long. Has anybody here ever gotten their tongue stuck on something in the winter?
Yeah.
No.
I think that's
really?
I think that's a rite of passage if you're Canadian.
Yeah, I've also done that as well. I guess maybe it's just a Canadian thing.
Well, you just think to yourself, well, that's not going to happen to me. My tongue's different.
Yep. Yep.
It's not going to freeze. My tongue's tough. My tongue's smart.
My tongue is so warm that it'll just melt the ice and it won't stick to it.
Yeah, it's going to make that ice it's my bitch. That's what my tongue's going to do. And then it does it, and then you're like,
somebody, I hope someone's help still me. Recording.
Somebody! Why is everyone leaving me?
Yeah. Oh, it just pictures that scene in the Christmas story.
Christmas story, yeah. I mean, that's never happened to me.
End of the episode.
That's never happened to me.